This is bookcareers.com live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of bookcareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 24 of bookcareers.com live. I'm going to talk about CVs today and really just some CV basics, and whether you're a seasoned job hunter who's way up in your career or whether you're looking for your first job, here are some CV tips that you really should take on board. Just before I get started, thank you so much if you've emailed me during the week about last week's podcast, or even I'm still getting emails about how to manage your boss. Thank you. I really do appreciate your feedback. Thank you so much. And if you do want to email me, you can either reply to the email newsletter or you can email me at suzanne@bookcareers.com. I'm always very happy to hear from you. These tips have been extracted from How to Job Search in Book Publishing, which I am almost finished, and I am going to be on lockdown at some point during July to finish writing the book. I'm going to lock myself in a room and not escape until I have finished the book, because it has a publication date now of the 24th of September 2019, and it is going to happen. This is non-negotiable. I can still hear some of you sniggering, but it will happen. Anyway, back to the CV tips. The first thing that so many of us perhaps seem to forget or seem to take for granted is that it's an industry unlike any other industry. The spelling, the grammar, your vocabulary, your editing, and the language that you use are paramount. You know, book publishers, we are the purveyors of the English language. We write the English language. So if you're applying for a job within the book industry, your CV and the vocabulary you use needs to represent that. And I think very often that's overlooked. So if you're used to looking for jobs in other industries, then what you have to understand about book publishing is that the quality of your vocabulary and punctuation, spelling, needs to be at least 10 times higher than a standard for another industry. It really does make a difference. So certain examples might include, say you've had a holiday job at McDonald's, that how are you spelling McDonald's? Is it M small c big D, or is it MAC big D? Because you need to check. I think you'll find it's M small c big D. And it's amazing how many people whose CVs I've seen where they've worked at McDonald's and don't know how to spell the name. We used to have this problem with Waterstones, where to put the apostrophe, and then Waterstones saved us the problem by removing the apostrophe altogether. Then you might see things like driver's license. If you're in the UK, driver's license is spelt with a C. If you're in America, then license is spelt with an S. But license with an S in the UK means a very different word. And look at the tense that you're using, and also the person. Do not write your CV in the third person, because it's your CV, it's your document. Of course it's you writing about yourself. So what I often suggest is almost first person, but then try and remove some of the tense. I see errant characters on CVs where somebody's just put in an extra character somewhere just as an accident, or other typos. And this really is just sloppy. And the best way to eradicate these is, before you email your CV, is to ensure you've printed out a copy and that you've looked at it on the page to see that there's nothing there that looks unusual or suspicious. I've seen CVs that just have, yes, typos, but so many spelling errors, and spell check does not pick up all the spelling errors. It's like that with thing with license, is sometimes that would not be picked up by spell check. Don't rely on spell check. The second point is to avoid using a CV template. Using a CV template does you no favours whatsoever. The most common template I'm seeing is the Moo Themes professional resume. And I'm seeing that a lot. And what that means, particularly if you're at entry level, is that say that you're in a batch of 300 or 400 CVs, there might be 10 or 15 people who've used the same template as you. And say one of them has written a really bad CV, the recruiter can instantly draw judgment against your CV for using the same template. Also, the Moo Themes template is really quite a lousy template. The other template I used to see a lot of was the Microsoft Office Professional Resume. And thankfully, I don't see many of these. And that's the Europass CV template. And that really is one of the worst CV templates going. So what this requires you to do, instead of using a template, just to lay your document out on a page. If you need to lay it out and you've got trouble trying to, you want to try and make sure that it's all uniform, then I suggest you use tables rather than text boxes. Because text boxes, if you're emailing your CV in Word, text boxes can often disappear with the text in them if you're looking at particular views in Word. If you're applying for a job, and this applies to your CV, your covering letter, whatever documents you send to apply for a job, always make sure that your contact details are clearly laid out at the top of the page. It's probably the number one complaint I hear from recruiters, is that they really want to contact you to invite you in for an interview, but they cannot see your contact details clearly. And what I recommend is that you always use one email address and a phone number. You don't necessarily have to put your full home address, and I'd advise you, if you're uploading your CV to a general website such as Monster, Total Jobs, Reed, CV Library, Fish for Jobs, any of those, not to put your full address, just to have your email address and telephone number on your CV. And this brings us down to another part of this tip, is that if you're at uni and you've got a term time address and a home address, it's very confusing for a recruiter to know which address they should contact you at, which is why just use one set of details. And if you've got a home number, you're one of the rare people that still has a home phone number as well as a mobile number, then you might put, you know, your daytime phone number and your evening phone number, just to be sure. But more often than not now, it's quite acceptable just to put one phone number, your mobile number. And do make sure the phone number you give is a phone that a recruiter can easily reach you. If you're giving a number of a shared house, you know, where somebody else might answer the phone on your behalf, then do make sure that first of all, they're going to answer the phone professionally and not say, yo, geezer. But secondly, that they're going to pass the message on to you, because it very often now that whilst employers might send you an email inviting you for an interview and want to give you some times, very often if they're trying to arrange interviews at short notice, they will still use the phone. Or if they want to clarify some points with you before inviting you for an interview, they will still use the phone. And when you're giving an email address, do make sure it's a professional sort of email address. And by that, I mean it's not something like I'm a loser@whatever.com. But make sure it's a professional type email address, and never ever use a work email address to look for a job. For two reasons. One is that whether you realise it or not, and whether your employer has declared it or not, they probably are scanning your emails for keywords. There's no privacy with email work email addresses. And the second point is, it's not exactly very professional to be looking for a job on work time, even though you might be. You don't want to say to a new employer, hey, look at me, because I'm looking for a job from my work email address. The next point is tip number four, that the length of your CV is important. Don't make your CV longer than 2 pages. This doesn't mean that you omit things if you're like me. I mean, I'm coming up to 36 years in publishing in August, and my CV is still 2 pages long. And yes, I do update my CV quite regularly. It helps me work with clients, because I understand some of the issues when you're working on your CV. So if my CV can be no more than 2 pages, then your CV can be no more than 2 pages. And the trick is to look at what you're actually saying, what is taking up the room on the page. If you've got lots of past jobs from, say, 20 years ago, and obviously here I'm talking to established professionals, then you don't really need to put in the detail if the experience of later jobs has superseded that earlier experience. So don't make it longer than 2 pages. And this repeats something I mentioned just before about using text boxes. I'd also avoid using headers and footers too, if you're going to send your CV in Word. Because the thing with those headers and footers, and this is very often where people put their contact details at the top of a page in a header, is that on a screen, in some views, the header might disappear. You don't want to risk that happening. So avoid using things like headers, footers, and text boxes. And in the UK, we do not use photographs or graphics unless you're looking for a design role. The first point about photographs, I know that in some European countries, it is compulsory to put a photograph of yourself on your CV. In the UK, it is recommended you do not put a photograph of yourself, because this allows for the recruiter to decide whether to employ you based on your appearance. Therefore, when they're trying to whittle down a few hundred CVs, they're very likely to exclude you because they already know what you look like and then cannot be seen to be judging you on your appearance. And graphics, I do recommend that people avoid using graphics unless you are a designer looking for a job that needs a designer. And I do also recommend that you choose your fonts carefully. I am still seeing some CVs in Comic Sans, and I avoid using colour. This is for several reasons. One being that there are various degrees of colour blindness. You do not know what degree of colour blindness the recruiter might have. The other point is, if they ask you in for an interview, and they will, if they ask you in for an interview, they will print your CV. It's very unusual for them not to print your CV if they're inviting you in for an interview. You have no idea how their printer will respond to your graphics and your colours and your fonts. So I always recommend TrueType fonts, and it's always black text on a white background. And please don't get clever with this and do reverse text, which is white text on a black background, because I will not thank you for using up all my black ink when I have to print your CV. The final point on this basic CV podcast is about whether to send in Word or PDF. Now, very much the choice is up to you now, what is better. What I will say is that traditionally, if you were sending your CV to a recruitment consultant, it was much better to send it in Word because it made it easy for them to edit. And by that, I mean very often they just remove your personal details. Whereas if you're sending it for a job, it doesn't really matter whether it's Word or PDF. But now, because so many people have PDF editors, it doesn't really make a difference. It's your preference whether to send it to as a Word or PDF. The case histories today, well, there are really too many if I'm talking about CVs, because I work with many people on a one-to-one basis where I'm helping them craft a CV which gets them interviews and ultimately gets them the job. So I'm not really going to dwell on that. But what I will say is, if somebody's helping you with your CV, you must retain ownership of your CV. It is your document. It represents you, and you have to know every single word on that document. And that's how I work with clients. I won't rewrite their CV for them word for word, but I will guide them as to helping them match their skills and experience to the jobs that they want to go for. But my clients retain ownership of their CV. They know every word that's on their CV, and their CV represents the professional person that they are. Because at the end of the day, if they get the job based on the CV, it's going to be them that goes into the office on day one, not me. So the CV has to represent truly their skills and competences for the job they're applying for. If you're listening to this and you'd like me to help you with your CV and covering letter for a specific job application, then go to the Book Careers website and search for an employability consultation. And if you put the code in Suzanne Special, you'll get a £10 discount off the usual price. This brings me on to the interview question of the week. Talk me through your CV. From an interviewer's perspective, this can be quite a lazy question to ask. It's very often asked by interviewers who haven't had the time to read through a candidate's CV before the interview's progressed, which sadly, given time constraints within a busy, demanding office, seems to be quite often. So this is your reason for perhaps asking the talk me through your CV question. And what you hope is that the candidate is answering and talking through you through their CV, highlighting the skills that they have for the job you are interviewing them for. From a candidate's perspective, when the interviewer asks you the talk me through your CV question, as I've just said, it can be seen as a very lazy question, but it also can be seen as an excellent question to be asked, because there you can lay down your pitch and your skills and expertise for the job you are being interviewed for. So you would have already read through the job description, reminding yourself of what the skills and competencies are for the job before you go back into the interview. And then you will highlight those experiences that you have that are relevant for the job you're being interviewed for. It might seem very basic, but it's very common how few candidates can actually talk about their CV in terms of skills and competencies in relation to a job they're being interviewed for. So if I gave you an example, say this was a marketing assistant role and part of this role was to use social media, and you'd never actually use social media in a job, but you'd use social media for the student union at uni. So what you would do is you would say, well, I have an excellent grasp of social media. I have been engaging audiences and regularly tweeting on behalf of the student union at university and talking about perhaps how you increase their following on what sort of engagement you got, because that's what the job you're going for requires you to do. Now, whether you think this is a lazy interview question or whether you think this is an excellent interview question to be asked, you should prepare for it, because it's one of the most frequently asked interview questions. I'm going to leave it there for today, but if you've got a topic that you'd like me to discuss in a future Book Careers podcast, then please email me at suzanne@bookcareers.com. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers, or on Twitter at BookCareers, or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.